Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of No Filters with Barry. This is your host on the mic. How has everyone been? I'm glad to be here again. On this episode, we are going to be doing a brief summary of the book, The Sensation and the Life Influences Story, The Alchemist by Paul Coelho. This is just going to be me doing a rundown of the story. If you've read the book before, come along with me and let me show you the little things and the small messages I've uncovered again. And if you've not read the book before, this is me telling you to go read it. Enjoy yourself, because this book is the shit. To me, it's kind of like a spiritual text. It's like a moral compass, not only moral, but also like a motivation for every person that has a dream out there. This is a story of an Andalusia boy. Andalusia is a region of Spain. His name is Santiago. He's a shepherd. I think the writer giving him the shepherd job is to kind of like display the simple life he was living before he had his dream. The boy is a simple boy. I think he grew up in a seminary, which is like a church place and something. So that's where he learned to read and everything. So before he had his dream, the most exciting thing in his life was a girl he met. That's like the most exciting thing in his life before the dream. So the dream came twice. He had that dream twice. And he was being bothered like, what am I going to do about this dream? This dream seems like something that's significant. So it's like, okay, I'm heading towards this town, Tarifa. And in this town, I know there's a gypsy there that interprets dreams. I'm going to narrate this dream to her. This is him narrating the dream to the gypsy woman. He said, "I dreamed that I was in a field with my sheep when a child appeared and began to play with the animals. I don't like to do that because the sheep are afraid of strangers. But children always seem to be able to play with them without frightening them. I don't know why. I don't know how animals know the age of human beings." So he said, "The child went on playing with my sheep for quite a while. And suddenly, the child took me by both hands and transported me to the Egyptian pyramids. Then, at the Egyptian pyramids, the child said to me, 'If you come here, you will find a hidden treasure.'" So that's the beginning of his curiosity, like, what treasure is waiting for me at the Egyptian pyramids? So it's kind of like a mystery. He wants to find out and know what's up. So as he told the woman said, "Okay, I'm going to interpret this dream for you, but then you promise me that once you find this treasure, you are going to give me 1/10 of it. I'm not going to collect any money from you now, but once you find that treasure, you are going to give me 1/10 of whatever treasure you find." So the man said, "It's a dream, the language of the world. Our interpretation is that you must go to the pyramids in Egypt. I have never heard of them, but if it was a child who showed them to you, they exist. There, you will find a treasure that will make you a rich man." So the boy wasn't like really, really impressed. He still feel like he was scammed by the woman, that the woman just made a simple interpretation about the dream and didn't really tell him what's up. It's like, how will I get to Egypt? What if I never get to Egypt? All those kind of questions. He wasn't still really sure. So he went out at Tarifa. There was a plaza at Tarifa. So he went there to just collect breeze and read his new book. There, as he was sitting to read his new book, then an old man came to him. This old man is like someone that is going to influence his story throughout with this, their little interaction they have. So basically, the old man persisted in like trying to get to talk to him. So as he was reading the book, he thought the old man doesn't even know how to read, and he was just trying to like tell the man off so that the man won't interfere with his reading. But the man persisted and was like, "What's up? This book we are reading is the same thing almost all the books in the world say. It describes people's inability to choose their own personal legend." What is personal legend? Personal legend is what you have always wanted to accomplish. I believe all of us have that one thing that's like, okay, this thing in my life, I want to do it. I would love to accomplish this. I would love to be here. I would love to achieve this. So personal legend is that you have always wanted to accomplish. Everyone, when they are young, knows their personal legend, blah, blah, blah. So the man kept persuading him and telling him there's so many reasons why he should go after his own personal legend. As you can see, this boy's personal legend now is this treasure, this so-called treasure waiting for him in Egypt, in the pyramids of Egypt. But with all this thing that the man is saying, the boy wasn't still confused. He said, the merchant's daughter that I want to marry, I already like that girl. Why would I abandon all those and I will abandon my ship? He had 60 ships, I think. He was having that resistance to deciding if to go after this treasure that was revealed to him in his dream. But then this conversation with the old man is one of, as I said, is one of the influential conversation in the story, because the man succeeded in persuading him to give up everything he has and everything he's dreaming to be, to go after this dream. The man told him that there's a mysterious force that begins to convince everyone that their personal legend is impossible to achieve. He said this force appears to be negative, but actually it shows you how to realize your personal legend. It prepares your spirit and your will, because there is one great truth on this planet. Whoever you are, or whatever it is that you do, when you really want something, it's because that desire originated in the soul of the universe. It's your mission on earth. So this is one of like my biggest lessons, my biggest nugget I want to take out of the book and give you guys, in that your desire, that thing that you really want. A lot of people have gotten to the stage that they do not pay attention to their personal legend, like the thing that actually gets them going, that thing they really want to accomplish. A lot of us, life has happened and we've given up on those dreams, on those desires, and we just let them be. But the truth is, like, when there's that something that really gets you going, that's like your goal, that desire originated in the soul of the universe, it is real, it is something you should not stop paying attention to. The man later succeeded in convincing him, and he said he always appears to people in one form or the other when they are at the brink of giving up on their personal legend, which is what he's also doing right here with the boy. The man actually said, if you want me to tell you about your treasure, you have to give me 1/10 of the flock of your sheep. So that's kind of like a way for the man to get him to sell his own sheep. So he was thinking and thinking about his boy. He just decided, like, okay, I'm going to go to Africa. So he sold all his sheep to his friend and he gathered the money, and the next day he met the man and he gave the man 1/10 of his sheep, which is like 6 sheep. So the man said, okay, your treasure is in Egypt, in the pyramid. So I was like, the gypsy woman already told me that. He said, yes, then you have to go to Egypt. The man also gave him 2 stones, Urim and Thummim, which is like for divination. And he said, follow the omens, but when you need to, you use these 2 stones as a divination to know what you will do. The white is yes and the black is no. That's how the boy set out to Africa to go and look for his treasure.
Hello, I'm Aosholu Ashon and I support No Filters on Spotify. You can also listen to them on YouTube and subscribe to their channel. This is No Filters with Barry.
Okay, now he's in Africa and a boy that has never left his region of Andalusia before is meant to learn the truth about the world, that the world is cruel. On getting to Africa, he found himself at a bar that they were just speaking Arabic. He doesn't speak Arabic, he speaks Spanish. So he wasn't understanding anything. So it's like a stranger in a strange land. But then he met a boy that speaks Spanish, like, oh, I found a friend. This guy can speak Spanish. Him being naive, he opened up to this boy that he doesn't know. But because the boy speaks Spanish, he thought, okay, I've found a friend. And he said, okay, I'm looking for my treasure. It's in the pyramids. I want to cross the desert. And I have saved up. I have this also money. I was like, okay, I can get you to the desert. Now, where is that money that you have? Bring that money. Let's go. Let me take you to the way to the desert. So he started, it took him through the market. They were walking. So as they were going through the market, his eye caught his sword and he said, ah, this beautiful sword. The moment he looked at that sword, before he looked back again, that boy, you don't go. The boy is gone. Oh, yeah, support law. The money is gone. He has been robbed of his life savings. Everything he has. He sold his sheep to have this money and they don't steal the money. So now he's a stranger in a strange land. Not only a stranger in a strange land, but a stranded stranger in a strange land with no money to feed, with nowhere to sleep and nowhere to go. What do I do now? I should keep moving out. As he was going around the market, he was learning new things about life. He realized that the same way he was able to communicate with the sheep that they don't speak any language, these people that speak a different language from him is the same way he has been learning to interact with them. So he said, okay, so there's a language, a universal language that the world speaks. So he kept moving around and then he saw a shop at the top of a hill. The shop is a crystal shop. They sell cups and all those glassware, fancy glasswares. But then when he got to the shop, he realized that the glasses and the window, the crystalwares, they are dusty. They are not clean. So he offered to the owner of the shop, like, let me clean these glasses for you and give me something to eat. So when he finished cleaning, the man was like, let's go and eat. And the man now offered him a job that, okay, how about you stay with me and you clean all this, my glassware, you arrange everything and I'll pay you so. And for every glassware that you're able to sell, I'll give you so commission. So he agreed, not having any money, thought, okay, this is a way for me to make up all the money I've lost and just go back home. I don't want to look for this treasure again. I'm done. I want to go back to Andalusia and I want to go and buy back my flock of sheep and keep being a shepherd. So he worked with this man for a year. During the time which he became close with the man, they had different discussions about a person's personal legend. Are you ought to follow your personal legend or stay behind? The man going for the latter. He said, men are meant to dream, but they are not meant to chase after their dreams. This boy, in a way, doesn't want to agree. He keeps remembering the influential conversation he had with that old man, King of Salem. The old man had told him that to realize one's destiny is a person's only obligation. He and the man maintained a difference in opinion about going for your dream or not. So it was a year now and the boy decided to leave. But before leaving, they had a conversation. He told the man, he was like, okay, I have enough to go back to my country and to even buy times two of the flock of sheep I had sold around this time last year. He packed up and was ready to head back to Andalusia, but was thinking that, okay, I've been a shepherd before, and with this money with me, I'm just going to head back and go back to what I've been before. But yeah, I am. That's the set desert to my right. All I have to do is to cross this desert, and I have enough money to even cross this desert and just go and find that treasure. After I find that treasure, I can always head back home and be a shepherd. Let me give this thing a shot. So he went to a caravan. He's like, okay, I want to travel with you guys to cross the desert. So he bought a camel. He joined the caravan and he started traveling. On that caravan, he met an Englishman. The Englishman is an aspiring alchemist. His life goal is to learn how to transform lead into gold. The man puts to him a lot of books that read this. But as he was reading those books, he wasn't learning anything. He found out that he was learning more by being present, by looking at the desert, by listening to the silence of the desert and just learning about life. This same language that the desert spoke to him is the language that he referred to as a language in the world everyone understood. It is the same way he was able to understand those people in back in Africa when he was speaking Arabic and he doesn't understand Arabic. So as we're going, it took a while. While they were traveling through the desert, a tribe war happened and they won't actually be able to go as far, but to stop at the nearest oasis. And the name of the oasis is Al-Fayoum, which is a oasis home to 15,000 palm trees and 300 wells. That's right in the middle of a desert. There's somewhere that is flourishing with life. So it's a wonder. It's a wonder. So they traveled and they got to the oasis. When they finally got to the oasis, which is where an alchemist reside, the people at the oasis, they call him a sorcerer, and a lot of people are even scared to interact with him. But this is the man that understands the way of life and is able to penetrate to the soul of the universe and understand the meaning of things. So the boy got to the oasis and he found his love. He met the girl, and the moment he met the girl, he realized he has found the one. As described in the book, he said, what the boy felt at that moment was that he was in the presence of the only woman in his life, and that with no need for words, she recognized the same thing. I think that's beautiful. This is one of my favorite love story and one of my favorite encounters in the book. Describing that moment, he said there's only that moment, and he said the incredible certainty that everything under the sun has been written by one and only. It is the hand that evokes love and creates a twin soul for every person in the world. Without such love, one dreams would have no meaning. I go love. I think a recurring theme in this story is Maktub, which means it is written. Keeps telling that wherever you find yourself, it is written. Everything is written by one hand. All things are one. In our journey, everything has been written. He told Fatima about his story and everything that led him to that moment. He said, I have crossed the desert in search of a treasure that is somewhere near the pyramids. And for me, the world seemed a curse, but now it's a blessing because it's brought me to you. In that, if he wasn't searching for his treasure and if he hadn't decided to cross the desert to go to the Egyptian pyramids, he wouldn't have found Fatima. So there was one day at the desert, as I said, they were staying at the oasis so that to wait for the tribal wars that is happening to finish so that they can finish crossing the desert. So one particular day, that boy walked out to the desert just to stroll, and there at the desert, he saw two hawks flying. And looking at those hawks fly, at their flight, something happened, they begin to fight, and the boy had a vision of that oasis being attacked. So on each side of each tribe that is fighting that war, each side has their oasis, and their tradition is not to attack any oasis while they are fighting. But then the boy had that vision of that the oasis they were, Al-Fayoum, was attacked. So he ran back and he went to the elders and he went to tell them that, I had a vision, this place is going to be attacked. They weren't going to believe him because he was a stranger. But then the leader of the oasis of the tribe, he said, okay, he told him the story of Joseph. He says Joseph was also a stranger, but he was a very good dream interpreter. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt because you are also like almost in the same situation. You had a vision and you're a stranger giving us this omen. He said, okay, tomorrow we will wait. If your vision comes true, for each 10 men that we kill in our attackers, we'll give you a piece of gold. And if it is not true, we shall kill you. So if his life depended on it. It was at this point that he revealed that vision he had. That was at this point that the alchemy that was living in the oasis revealed himself to him and came to test his courage. He pointed the sword at him like, who are you to have been able to see a vision? And who are you even to have the courage to even go and see this vision? He said, okay, come and see me tomorrow. So the next day came and these people actually attacked the oasis. But being that he has seen the vision and he helped them prepare, they were able to, the oasis dwellers, they were able to overcome their enemies, and they defeated them. They killed each one and every one of them. It was 500 men that attacked them. So this boy was given 50 pieces of gold. So he was very rich, and he was also offered the role of being the counselor of the oasis. So when he had the conversation with the alchemist said he has to go after his dream. He has to go after the dream of his treasure waiting for him at the pyramids. He was like, again, He has so many reasons in his life not to want to go after this treasure. He has found the love of his life, Fatima, and he also had 50 pieces of gold. He was very rich, and he was also being offered the role of the counselor of the oasis. So the alchemist told him that if you said you stick with this and you stay here, you will live a good life, but in a year, you still be regretting having not gone after your dream of finding the treasure. Long story short, the alchemist was able to convince him to go after his dream. So they traveled across the desert. In this story, I've always thought, what is the symbol of the desert in this story? The desert is like a dry land, big land that he has to cross, a big hurdle, a big obstacle that he has to cross to get to his dream. And in crossing that obstacle, in going through the desert, he has learned a lot of things about life, about things he wouldn't have thought that existed. He has learned, even before getting to his treasure, he has learned a lot. He has gained a lot. He found love. He became rich. So it is crazy, without even having found his treasure yet, just facing that obstacle between himself and his dream has led him, has brought him to a lot of things that I even consider as his life treasures already. But still, the alchemist made it known to him that you still have to go and find that treasure. So the alchemist helped him in crossing the desert. While they were crossing the desert, they still faced some hurdles that they had to deal with, and they passed through the desert, and the man got him to the pyramids. So the man went to the pyramids. On getting to the pyramids, he fell to his knees and was like, God, for the past 3 years, 4 years or so, I've been trying to come here, and I'm here now. So he started weeping like, fuck, like evoking the thought of everything he has went through, being robbed, being going through the desert, facing death. All those things was emotional for him, and started weeping. At that spot that I was crying, where tears fell, he saw a beetle digging into the ground. I was like, this is another omen. You know, as I said, the theme of this story is omens and maktub, that it's written. This place that this beetle is digging, that must be where my treasure is. So he started digging, he digged all night. His hands were already where there were blisters on his hand. So till the next morning he was digging, then some gang showed up and was like, you, what are you digging in that place? So he told those guys the truth, said he was digging for his treasure, and they just laughed at him. So they started beating him, they checked his bag, they found gold, the gold that the alchemist gave him, they found it, and they took the gold and they beat him. So the leader of the gang, after they injured him, he now looked at him, he said, you are very stupid that for you to have crossed from Andalusia and a whole other continent, you crossed the sea and you came to Africa, and you did not even stop there. You now went from Tangier, you crossed the deserts for almost 3 months, and you came here to the pyramid and started digging the ground. You are very stupid because of just a dream. You took that long a journey. Even me, said me myself, 2 years ago, I dreamt that there's gold, there's treasure and everything. In one church in Andalusia, you will see gold, different coins. When I had that dream, I did not cross the desert and go and look for that gold, but you are very stupid. Crazy. The leader of that gang just described that particular church, that same church that the boy was sleeping at the time he had his dream. That's one of the biggest and the craziest twist in this story of the alchemist. It was mind-blowing. It's kind of like resonated with the Yoruba saying that Nkoto wa lo sokoto o wa ni abe sokoto re. So that is the story. Personally, the things I've learned in this story is that we should go for our personal agent. That thing that you want to, that drives you, that is a desire, you should move towards it. You should walk. We should not give up on our dreams. We should not never give up on our dreams, honestly. So that's one of my biggest takeaway from the story, and also that symbolism of the desert, in that whatever seems like a desert, like the big obstacle between where you are right now and where you want to go, where you think your treasure is, that big obstacle, don't be scared to face it. Take that journey. There's a lot for you in that journey already, even before you get to your treasure. So like, let's face our obstacle and let's go after our dream. Okay, one part I would like to read out from the story, which is like a summary, which is like the takeaway from the story. It said, "This story, timeless and entertaining, exotic yet simple, breaks down the journey we all take to find the most meaningful treasures in our lives into steps that are at once natural and magical. It is about the faith, power, and courage we all have within us to pursue the intricate parts of our personal legend, a path charted by the mysterious magnet of destiny, but obscured by distractions. Santiago shows how along the way, we learn to trust our hearts, read the seemingly inconspicuous signs, and understand that as we look to fulfill a dream, it looks to find us just the same if we let it." So, my brothers and sisters, let it. Let it. Let that dream find you. That's the end of the episode. I hope you've learned one or two things during the course of this episode. And if you haven't read this book yet, I'll be putting the link to download the book in the description below. It's a very short story and you will enjoy it. I guarantee it. All right. Next time when I see you, have a good day. Bye.